Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We have quite a bit of ground to cover tonight. I'll be off tomorrow night. Again, a program note. I'll be on my way to Seattle for the gig on Saturday night. So I guess they're going to run a rebroadcast. Or did they get Limbaugh to co-host for me? No, that didn't come through. They didn't get Limbaugh said no. He said what? Kathy, stop. Stop saying things like that. My goodness. Hillary Clinton. This is kind of weird. Hillary Clinton's going to speak on Tuesday, Bill Clinton on Wednesday during the week of the Democratic convention, or the 3 or 4 days of the Democratic convention. The Clinton campaign says this will be catharsis for the Hillary voters. What? This is really starting to irritate me more than it did back during the primary season. Bill and Hillary Clinton are now at the point where they want the convention to be about them too. I used to be a massive Clinton supporter on a personal level, not on a level of most of his policies, because I thought they were bogus. And with his triangulation crap, he was really kind of Republican light, and Hillary's the same way. And let's not get into a spitting contest about that tonight. Again, if you feel like writing me an email, and telling me I'm crazy or hell where it concerns Hillary, my only response to you would be check her voting record. You know, don't write to me and say you did it again, Malloy. Hillary walks on water. Hillary's God. Don't do that. Check her voting record. And if you can still maintain that Hillary Clinton is even close to being a liberal, then you better up your meds or go see your shrink. And I'm not trying to pick a fight with you. It's just she's not a liberal. Neither is Barack Obama. These are not liberals, damn it. And what you folks are doing, some of you, you're allowing the right wing to identify these people, Clinton and Obama, for you. They call them liberals so that they can frighten the little Christian conservative cadre core. Ooh, the liberals are coming, the liberals are coming. And you hear that so much, that they're liberals, because the mainstream media in this country is so corrupted. But if you just look at their voting record, please! They're not liberals. But I digress. Why is Hillary and Bill Clinton being given so much FaceTime, airtime, whatever you want to call it, at the convention? Why should they be given any airtime or FaceTime at the convention? And as far as the 16 million people who voted for Hillary, you know, what does that mean? So 16 million people voted for Hillary. So what? How many millions voted for Edwards? How many millions voted for Kucinich? How many millions? I'm really getting tired of this. Now, I'm just curious. For the Hillary Clinton supporters, do you really feel like you need a catharsis? And what does that mean? I thought catharsis was something that you drank so that you could have a real good bowel movement. Or is that something else? What the hell is a catharsis? What does this mean? Does it mean that the women who voted, and apparently they're mostly middle-aged women, we're demanding this. I don't know. That's what I read. I only know what I read, and the mainstream media would not lie to me, would it? But all these middle-aged women, these Hillary Clinton supporters who are pounding on their desktops and waving their brooms in the air, whatever the hell they're doing, about, no, we want catharsis. Catharsis for what? Your candidate came in second. And when is the campaigning for Barack Obama supposed to begin? Remember when Hillary and Barack had a joint, it wasn't a press conference, was it? Just a joint appearance. And Hillary said, "Oh yes, well I'm going to be campaigning." And then Bill Clinton said he was going to be campaigning for the presumptive nominee. And what's this about entering her name in the roll call vote at the convention? You know, that can't happen unless she signs off on it. And it doesn't make any difference how saddened and in need of catharsis her supporters are. Oh, she can't have her name placed in nomination unless she says, "Place my name in nomination." I'm not quite sure how to, I'm sorry if I'm pissing you off again. I know a lot of you who are Clinton backers are just sitting there now going, "Okay, I gave him a second chance. That's it. I'm out of here. Screw you, Malloy. Goodbye." I know. When will Hillary and when will Bill really start campaigning for Barack Obama? When's that supposed to happen? After he gets the nomination? Election day? When is that supposed to happen? What kind of a tactic, what kind of a political tactic do you suppose, maybe, perhaps, possibly, the Clinton machine has in mind for the Democratic convention? This is, on the one hand, it appears to me that the Clintons are once again demanding that the spotlight be on them. This is not a convention about them. Jesus God. I mean, the guy was president for 8 years. Bill, that's all you can be president. Go away. Go find a country somewhere whose roads and sewers you can improve or whose public health needs mosquito netting or something. Get out of town, will you, big dog? You had your moment. Go. And as far as Hillary is concerned, Jesus, nice try. But you didn't make it. Go back to being a senator from New York. What the hell do you people want? I know what you want. I think America knows what you want. What would have happened if Hillary Clinton would have gotten the nomination? Would Michelle Obama get her own speechifying time? "Well, Mike, Michelle Obama's not a former president." My point exactly, former president, former. He was impeached. He doesn't have that good of a reputation. He's the past. He's then. We're sitting here in now, and Obama keeps talking about to come. So, I don't know. It's just irritating the hell out of me. It really is. It really is. And the second thing is the assumption then by the Clintons that their supporters are so weak, such whiny asses, so unable to stand on their own two feet, just desperately in need of what? Electroconvulsive therapy? What do the Clinton supporters say? "Well, we need to see her name entered in." Well, that's not going to happen. "Well, then, we need to see her give a speech, and her husband, too, and her daughter, and anybody else. Has she got any brothers left alive? Bring some of them up there, too. Oh, my God." Why? Why? Hillary Clinton is not the nominee. "Oh, but Mike, you just don't get it. You sexist pig bastard, you. You just don't get it. You're a typical man. You don't understand. You really don't. And you never will. She's a woman. And she almost got the nomination. Oh, Mike, I just hate you."
There's You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
One past the hour. Okay, you know, I'm not going to put too fine a point on this or push a pencil in some Hillary Clinton supporter's eye, but MSNBC is reporting it Clinton to headline second night of convention, and the subhead is Obama campaign is seeking to avoid hard feelings among Clinton backers. I thought they had this kumbaya moment, didn't they? I thought they got together after it was clear that Obama was going to be the Democratic nominee, and they had their kissy face, hug, hug, hands in the air. Moment. So what is going on? Something stinks here, you see. Now, I heard somebody today suggest, well, this is just the Clintons' way of launching the 2012 campaign. The 2012 campaign? You mean they're assuming that Barack Obama's presidency is going to tank and crash and burn, and he's not going to run for re-election? Is that what they're talking about? Clinton told supporters that she is seeking a way for her delegates to be heard at the convention and be united after the hard-fought nominating contest. Why? I mean, what is the point? And I'm not trying to be a real smartass here, but I'm just wondering why. What the hell is going on? According to a video that's posted at YouTube, taken by an attendee at the where was this? I don't know where this was taken. But according to this YouTube video, it says, Hillary says, quote, because I know from just what I'm hearing that there's incredible pent-up desire, and I think that people want to feel like, okay, it's a catharsis, we're here, we did it, and then everybody get behind Senator Obama. This is what most people believe is the best way to go, she said. Obama said, I don't think we're looking for catharsis. I think what we're looking for is energy and excitement. I'm sorry, I'm having a real problem with this.
Maybe Hillary just wants another opportunity to remind everybody that, you know, what happened to Bobby Kennedy.
Well, oh my. So, I don't know. If you have a comment on this, we'd like to hear from you. The number here is 800-989-1480. I'm just... I'm puzzled by this, and I guess what it is it's kind of inherent, isn't it, in the American character that we don't like sore losers, right? In a contest, the winner's supposed to be gracious, as is the loser. And as far as the Democratic nomination is concerned, Barack Obama won, Hillary Clinton lost. They had their moment. They had their let's raise hands and pat each other on the butt. Oh, no, wait, that was George Bush and the woman's volleyball player. Never mind. Let's raise hands and hug each other and do a little kiss-kiss. And now, on to the White House. Didn't I hear somebody say, on to the White House in that moment? But wasn't there supposed to be proactive campaigning on the part of Hillary and eventually the pouting, thumb-sucking Bill Clinton? What's the matter, Bill? Not getting any lately? Huh? Nobody to hit on? Oh, geez. What is it? It's difficult for me to watch what appear to be fully grown adults acting like thumb-sucking babies, little children. Ow, I want to have my moment at the convention. You had your moment. 16 months of moments. You lost. Can't you get behind the Democratic nominee and stop the nonsense? I know. A lot of people are thinking, well, Malloy, how do you know what she's going to say? Maybe she's going to get to the convention and say, well, we've got to support Barack Obama. Onward. Let's to Barack Obama. Blah, 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 blah. let me ask you something. As long as you've known the Clintons, have they ever presented anything that wasn't self-referential to some degree? Quick answer, no. Longer answer, hell no. Never, ever. So Hillary gets Tuesday night. Bill gets Wednesday night. What about Chelsea? Oh, that's right. She's going to introduce her mom. Well, that makes sense. It would be kind of awkward for this philandering, adultering, impeached Goomba Bill Clinton to stand up there and introduce his loving wife and then plant one of those great big old rubbery-lipped kisses on her. Hi, sweetie. Hey, listen, about that Monica thing, sorry about that. But, you know, you came in second. Jesus. So, if you have a comment, and I see that some of you do, we'll take your comments on this. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
This is my private life. I've got no friends to fear. I've got no problems, no cross to bear. If you can find me, come get me out of here. This is my private place. Everything is neat and clean. The skeletons are hidden in the closet. This is my private place. Come get me out of here.
Reality radio for a rational world. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
26 before the hour. All right, let's take some calls on this particular topic about Hillary Clinton's demands, and apparently she's going to get them. Just to recap, I don't understand why Bill and Hillary, if they're being honest, why they consider that the people who voted for them in the primary are so weak-kneed, such sob sisters, so spineless, so frail, that they need their cathartic moment. No, it's Bill and Hillary that need the catharsis. It's just another in a 20-year-long, 30-year-long history of these two, of everything has to be about them, either directly or tangentially. Somehow it has to be about them. This is Barack Obama's convention. It is. He's the one who got the vote. 16 million for Hillary. Okay. But that brought her in second. Now, if we don't want the kind of system we have, let's switch over to a parliamentary system or to a power-sharing system, but that's not how it works. And neither Hillary nor Barack are going to work for something like that. So since we have the kind of nominating and ruling system that we have with the two parties that are exactly the same except in around the edges where the nutballs live, then what's the big deal? Sit down and shut up, number two person. Or change it. But that'll never happen. To your phone calls, Dan is calling from Phoenix, listening on KPHX. Dan, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey.
So I have to kind of qualify what I'm going to say before I say it, but I'm a guy who gets laughed out of the toy department at Target because I go on a rant about how, aside from Dora, all the toys tell my daughter that she's supposed to be subservient and superficial, right? So
right.
I'm hardly Archie Bunker here.
Right.
But I spent months on the blogosphere getting called a misogynist and a sexist, despite the fact that I'm a Democratic male and I'm that way because I'm pro-choice and
right.
and stuff. It's just insulting. But the truth is there is one way to win at the ballot box, and that is to tell the people why you should vote for me. And that's why Barack Obama won, because he didn't run as a black man. Let's not forget he's a minority, too.
Right.
But he ran as a leader with ideas. And as much as Hillary tried to do the same, and she did try to, her followers, her fans, wouldn't let it be about that. Everything had to be sexism, and everybody had to be a misogynist over and over again all the time. They couldn't get beyond that and let Hillary run on being a leader with ideas. And
I know. Some of the emails I got at this program are still smoking, from 2 months ago. There's still a pile of warm ashes here. You're absolutely right. If you didn't vote for Hillary, or if you pointed out her record, or if you argued the fact that she's not a liberal and she's not a progressive, of course, neither is Obama, but if you argued that fact, well, then you were anti-female. I can't tell you how many people sent me stuff. Kathy got emails. How can you stay married to that bastard? You know, that kind of stuff.
It's ridiculous. And I even stopped addressing her or referring to her as Hillary Clinton or as Senator Clinton, and instead started referring to her as the McCain surrogate, right? Because right. That's what she was for about half of the primaries, her and Bill out there talking about McCain's better than Obama, right? So I started calling her the McCain surrogate, and that wasn't enough to get the point across to these people why I could not vote for Hillary or support her. It's insulting them and pissing them off, and they're addressing the fact that it's insulting and pissing them off, but it doesn't. To them, it didn't add up that might be my reason, not sexism. So as long as these people want to be hung up on everything's got to be about the sexism, we will never get a leader in office who can change the sexism. If you want to change it, win in spite of it, and then change it.
Good idea. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you checking in. Yeah. I just wonder how many people who supported Kucinich or Gravel or Edwards or Hillary during the primary season were called racist because they wouldn't support Barack Obama. I'm sure there were some charges of that, but to the extent that those who just chose not to vote for Hillary, the Democrats who just chose not to, based on, as Dan just pointed out, not based on, well, she's a woman, she can't lead. Who in the hell said that? I think everybody agreed that in terms of raw experience, of course Hillary Clinton had more than Barack Obama. But as Dan just pointed out, if her campaign had stimulated people to a greater extent than the Obama campaign stimulated people, then she would be the nominee. That's all. Now, she's not the nominee, the presumptive nominee. It is Barack Obama. But her supporters have to be mollycoddled. There's a word you don't hear very often. Patted on the butt, have their diapers changed, their tears patted away with a tissue. What the hell is this? Catharsis? Politics ain't beanbag. It's hand grenades back and forth. John McCain and these filthy neocons are trying to destroy the world. But we have to pause. We have to pause, put everything on hold for a minute, pause, okay, bring the 16 million out, because according to Bill and Hillary, you all are just absolute basket cases, you just can't stand, oh no, oh don't melt down, we'll put her name in nomination, no, let's not do that, wouldn't the Republicans have fun with that, well, she lost to get to Obama, but we got to do something. I'm so sick of this. I thought this was dead and buried. I thought it was over. Ha. 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 Well, Mike, don't you remember when Hillary said she was suspending her campaign? Not ending. Suspending. Don't you remember? Come on. Come on. You know the Clintons. Come on. You talk about an August surprise, dude. All right. I just wonder how Hillary Clinton supporters feel in being pandered to and babied like this by Bill and Hillary. They're the ones putting out the story that you all are so frail, so fragile, so broken, so crushed that you need your catharsis. Now, I'm not, again, I sound very mocking. I understand. A few minutes ago, I heard several tens of thousands of radios click off. Well, I'm not listening to this crap. Okay, I understand. I am not busting up on you. I'm busting up. I thought the Clinton people had, or the Clinton supporters had kind of matured a little bit in the past couple of months and said to themselves, okay. We got a little weird. But, you know, we got caught up in the Hillary thing and the woman thing. And she's made such a comeback from the time her husband, had that thing with that bitch Monica. So, anyway, a historic moment's about to be made. Well, Barack's an historic moment, too. I know. But that's different. Wait your turn. But we're over it now. That's what I thought. I thought, we're over it. They had their kissy moment. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. And now here we are, 10 days away from the convention? 9 days? Whatever. And all of a sudden, here come the 16 million again. Oh, my God. Look out. Here comes the stampede. Here they come. Waving their frying pans and their brooms and their... And, just ready to beat the hell out of any hapless male that gets in the way. Get out of the way, you sons of bitches! We need our catharsis! Well, take some Metamucil. You know, that'll give you a nice catharsis. Yo, look, hey, wait a minute. When Michael Phelps wins another gold medal, I mean, do the other swimmers stand there and say, ah! We need our catharsis! I want a medal, too! God damn it, give me my medal! Or at least let me stand up on the bottom. But you didn't win anything. I know, but I tried! I just heard another 10,000 radios turn off. You know, I don't give a damn. I really don't care. I couldn't believe this today. That's how I'm starting to hear now. Oh, catharsis. The Hillary Clinton voters, God forbid that they should be injured even more than they already have been.
I think the word you're looking for when you keep referencing Metamucil is a purgative.
Oh, it's not a catharsis?
It's similar. But remember, because Hillary will remind you, can't forget what happened to Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, Jesus. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Back to your phone call. Stay with us.
That what you thought love was for. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're lost. I'm tired of fighting.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Back to phone calls. Mary is calling from Phoenix, also listening to KPHX. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Mike. Oh, it's so nice to get through to you. I love your show.
Thank you.
I've never talked to you before, and I'm furious. Like you. I don't understand what is the point of all this sissy la-la stuff. You know, when you lose, you lose. Go home, Hillary. You know, I don't know if you heard on the news today, I heard some report that said Obama, they came to some kind of agreement that they are going to allow her. They agreed she could put her name in nomination. And I don't understand what this process actually entails in the roll call and everything.
I don't
mean,
either.
What point, theoretically, could she steal delegates away from him, where if she got, let's say they do the roll call vote and she gets more votes, what then?
You know, I think the superdelegates always have the option of switching their vote. I don't know about the regular delegates. I don't understand the rules set out by the Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee are designed to keep it so totally, utterly confusing and so arcane and so intricate that it's almost impossible. And that's whether it's convention rules or getting your name on the ballot in the various states in order to keep their monopoly, in order for the Democrats and Republicans to keep third parties or fourth or fifth parties completely beyond the horizon. Now, how it works in the convention, I have no idea. I do know, though, that because I've read it, according to the Democratic National Committee rules, it doesn't make any difference who says what. The only way Hillary Clinton's name at this point could be placed in nomination is if she signs off on a document. I mean, literally signs, right, that says, yes, I want my name placed for nomination, for a roll call. Now, if she does that, I don't know what the possible outcomes are. But my question is, why? What's the point?
Yeah, I don't know. And I got one thing to say to all these Hillary voters. And just so you know, I'm a 46-year-old woman, and the reason I didn't support Hillary is because of her voting record. It's not because I don't believe that a woman is capable, but who are these people that supported this woman after she said during the whole campaign regarding her, you know, vote to authorize Bush to go into Iraq, oh, gee, if only I knew then what I know now, I would have voted differently. When, of course, she was one of the few people that had access to the real intelligence, she didn't read it. She could have known then. But, okay, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt, whatever, that whole crap about, well, I wanted to be like one of the boys, you know, so, you know, they wouldn't think I'm a big sissy, I won't vote for war, that whole line of thinking. Okay, well, let's just say she voted and thought she was doing the right thing. Then how does she now, knowing what she knows now, turn around and vote to give him the authority to go into Iran?
Sure.
How are these people supporting her and saying they're against the war?
I can never understand that. By the same token, I'm starting to wonder how Obama supporters, of which I certainly was one, how Obama supporters can continue to push their fingers into their ears and close their eyes and chant, no, I'm voting for him. No, I'm voting for him. No, I'm voting for him. I realize a lot of Democrats are going to do that because given the choice of Obama and McCain, well, there's no choice there, is there?
Exactly.
But you know, it's not just Hillary that one could challenge as being a progressive or a liberal or even a centrist. I mean, when you take a look at their positions, if not their voting records, their positions, what they've said and what Barack Obama has said since he became the presumptive nominee is so far afield from what he started out saying that I sit here and think, geez, is this the first year that I'm going to go into the voting booth and vote for someone other than a Democrat? I don't know. I won't know. And I probably won't say a word about it no matter what I do. Because I don't want the avalanche of insulting emails telling me that because I vote my conscience, I'm some kind of a traitor, because I vote what I think might be the way to get this country out. Well, you're just giving it to the Republicans, Mike. You know, I can't do that. So, you know, like I've said many, many times on this program, Mary, I've got more questions than I could ever possibly have answers. But anyway, thanks for checking in. All right.
Okay, Mike. Hey, have a good night.
Okay, you too. Take care. Take care. Edward is calling from Indiana, listening on Sirius. Edward, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, doing great now.
Good.
I've been listening to Sirius. I've been going back and forth from the Patriot to the left and listening back and forth. And the only thing I can gather out of what Hillary's trying to do is basically, she's just trying to steal the light from Obama and know that, you know, Obama's not leading by a landslide or anything else right now like he's supposed to be. And she's trying to get the superdelegates to lean towards her.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some conversation in the Clinton compound about that. But on the other hand, you know, you just said something that's intriguing to me. Why should we focus on the idea that Barack Obama is not way in the lead? Now, I know that America is tired of George Bush's policies and the Republican Party, but on the other hand, if they're talking about experience, why isn't McCain way in the lead? I think that at this point, where the final lap in this miserably long campaign season hasn't begun, it's about to begin as soon as these two conventions are over. But I think in this final lap, we will see. I have a feeling we're going to see Obama pull ahead at least sufficiently to send Grandpa back to a North Vietnamese prison camp or Walmart, depending on what's out there now. I'll be back after the break. Stick around. This is the Molloy Program on Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. I had no idea. I thought this was just a dead topic. I really did. I thought, okay, bring it up. Bitchin', whinin', and moan the way you do, Molloy, when something really irritates you. Okay, I did. And now here we go with the phone calls, which is fine with me. Let's rock and roll here. Al the Music Factory is or AJ the Music Factory is calling from the Catskills. AJ, welcome to the program.
Hey, handsome, how are you tonight?
I'm getting through. I'm fooling a lot of people, but I'm getting through.
You know that I sent you a blazing hot email on this topic a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you remember it. But it was so on fire that my dear wife looked at it and said, "I think he will think you have snapped." And
I probably read it and really enjoyed it, and it probably had all kinds of F words in it, and I just said, "Okay,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
okay.
More,
right? Okay,
and more." That's where it started.
I remember it now. Yes, I do. Right.
Yeah, be glad to send it to you again. But anyway, make no mistake, there is sexism afoot here. But it is not misogyny. It is misandry. M-I-S-A-N-D-R-Y.
Yeah.
It is the woman's equivalent of misogyny, if you look it up. It is the hatred of men.
Uh-oh.
And if I can take you back all the way to the beginning of the summer when this harpy got on the television. Her name was, you ready for this? This is the name you would write if you would write this as a fiction.
Okay.
Harriet Christian.
Harriet Christian, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When she stood there and said that they were handing the nomination to an inadequate black male. And not one of these good, solid, democratic women got up and said, "We disavow this.
Right.
We do not agree with Barack Obama, but this is ugliness." A little ugliness seemed to be okay for them as long as it served their purpose. And so I trust Barack Obama implicitly in terms of his campaign. He's run a good campaign, and whatever he and Axelrod think appropriate so that they can win, I'll trust them. And if they pick Hillary Clinton, I'll swallow hard, and then I'll say, okay, let's go to November. But the way I feel about it today is that these Clinton supporters need to go away. They need to go away, and that's not what I said in the email, was it, Mike?
No, it wasn't.
No.
But by go away, you don't mean go away and vote for McCain.
Well, I'll tell you what. If they are so insane, then we can only rejoice that lunatics like this go and work for John McCain. Barack Obama's landslide can only be all the greater.
Yeah, well, that's...
How many people do they really think Barack Obama has gotten the independence that he's going to get? How many people, as a result of this madness, do they really think Obama is going to lose? The people who are so blindly supporting Hillary Clinton, they are not going to vote for Barack Obama under any circumstance. They're like McCain voters. So why in God's green earth is anybody listening to these people? There are four or five, I forget how many now, people ran against Barack Obama in the primaries other than Clinton, who sat down after they lost their primaries,
right,
their primary races.
Right.
I have never seen anything like this before in my life. And I want to tell you, this is not the time in history for a woman to ascend to the presidency. This is a time in history for the correct woman to ascend to the presidency, or the correct black man, or the correct Italian, or the correct dwarf. But whoever it should be the right person. And if she's not the right person, her gender has nothing to do with it. And these foul-minded people who concoct this web of lies that this is all about misogyny.
Yeah.
They are misandric fools, Mike, and I have had it up to here. My hand is at my face. I have had it up to here with them. They should go away.
I hear you, AJ.
I want you to have a great time in Seattle.
All right, thank you.
And listen, as far as I'm concerned, you are going to be in the company of people who not one of them is fit to work your mixing board.
Ah!
Okay?
All right, AJ.
Peace. Thanks for your good work.
All right,
Better dead than red.
I hear you. Thanks, AJ. Take care. I've said before that I really don't have any friends in the radio business. Nobody in the radio business has friends in the radio business. But, I have to disagree with AJ on that one about the other people going to be out there, the other panel members. They're all exceptionally good at what they do. You may not agree with them, but they're all exceptionally good at what they do. Rachel and Randy and Stephanie and Tom and Sam and who's the other guy? Me. That's right. And Ron Reagan. Yeah, they're all good people. The thing that sticks in my craw, and especially now that the Clinton camp has apparently demanded what they're demanding, and I'm not even clear what that is, except the so-called catharsis, these poor 16 million who somehow need to be cleaned out or some, I don't know. But the thing that sticks in my craw is back during the campaign, the primary campaign, when Hillary Clinton made the really down and dirty statement. I mean, it was just and it's going to come back to bite the Democratic Party on the ass, as well as bite Barack Obama on the ass, as well as, cause some damage. Because it's going to appear in campaign ad after campaign ad, and for the Republicans. And that was her statement, that she and John McCain had all this experience, ability to lead, and Barack Obama had given a speech. Now, I understand, I said earlier tonight, politics ain't beanbag. You've got to expect the manhole covers to come flying through the air, and if you're not careful, take your goddamn head off. But that, I mean, she was aligning herself with a Republican whose chief advisor was one of the founders of the Project for a New American Century and set up the lies that got us into Iraq. How does Hillary Clinton square that with her campaign that the Republicans need to be driven from office? If that's true, then what is she doing, even in an unguarded moment, which that wasn't, it was carefully scripted, what is she doing saying that she has this experience, McCain has that experience, and Barack Obama gave a speech? Now, if I were really, truly, honestly, supporting, I mean, openly and actively, and with vigor, whoever's going to be, and at this point, who knows what kind of tricks and chicanery they have up their sleeves, but whoever's going to be the Democratic nominee, as Barack Obama, if I were going to openly, gleefully, gladly, joyously support Barack Obama, that would be one thing. But I'm not. As it stands right now, when I walk in the voting booth, November, when is it? The 10th? I don't know when it is. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. And if you use that as some sort of a touchstone for your decision, you're insane. You know, don't pay any attention to what I say. Because, you know, it doesn't make any difference. I'm not advocating for or against or over or under. What I try to do is call them like I see them. And what I see with the Democratic nominee is a non-liberal, non-progressive, who is going to be another go-along, get-along. Now, if that turns out to be wrong, I will come on this program, if I'm still alive 4 years from now, and beg your forgiveness, and sit here and speak all night in Latin, saying things like, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa, weenie weedy weechi, in hoc signo win case, whatever. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. Every time I turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy, there's hope. You let it, it'll drive you crazy, there's hope. I'm taking back my power today, there's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising, there's hope. The government, they keep on lying. Twenty-one past the hour. Regarding the closeness of the Obama McCain polling, as Prairie 2 writes, the majority of voters under 30 don't have a landline phone and aren't polled. If they turn out like in the primaries, it would be a blowout. They are more likely to turn out this year as the crappy economy is hitting them even harder than average. And analysis of contributions show Obama is getting money 6-1 from servicemen based overseas. Yeah, that's a good point. Two of my adult children don't have landlines. And as a matter of fact, one is over 30, one is under 30. And, you know, when I being stuck in the 19th century or the 20th century like I am, I say, why don't you have landline? Why don't you have a phone? The answer always comes back, why? I mean, what's the point? I don't know why we still have one, frankly. All right, back to your phone calls. We'll keep this going a little bit longer, but we have, you know, we have other stuff to get to, so keep that in mind. Brian is calling from the Florida Keys, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Brian.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Hey, I'm just finishing a long drive back from Michigan to the Keys, and I'm very nearly home. So,
well, you have my heartfelt jealousy. I wish I'd like to go to the Hog's Breath tonight.
Well. It's just one of those things that we get to do, you know. Sometimes we get lucky.
I hear you.
So I was listening to you about Bill and Hillary, and no matter how you feel about those two, I don't think they're really all that dumb. And I think that with the blessing of the Democratic National Committee, they're probably doing this in anticipation of 2012, should Barack Obama not get elected in 2008. This will set them up to where they can go in. They have their 16 million people. They're going to try to keep those through the 4 years and roll into the 2012 election, basically saying, well, Barack didn't do it last time, and we said he wouldn't, and we're ready to go.
Do you think there is even a chance that John McCain, after what this country's gone through for the past 8 years, that McCain will be elected?
I sincerely hope not. But every once in a while, you just talk to people and you just say, this is scary.
Right.
Some people just don't appreciate the fact that this guy is 72 years old. He can't put words together in form viable sentences sometimes, and you. His policies are crap. He flip flops like a fish on the pier. You know, he's not an impressive individual. But there are people that are going. If Barack doesn't have a 15-point lead going into the election, I think that people are going to hold his race against him. I think that'll happen. And then from that point on, you know, because McCain and Barack Obama was shown to be the toughest pair for Barack to beat in the first place. They think that this will give Hillary a second chance. She'll only be, 64?
Mm-hmm.
And, she can go in and say, I had a viable campaign and only Barack Obama stopped me and he didn't make it. So that's my take on the whole thing. I don't think that they're in there looking, they're looking for the normal glory that the Clintons look for. But I think that they're being a little more strategic than just trying to dominate the convention.
Well, you may be right on target, Brian. You really may be. And you made a point there that every once in a while I forget. I said this a couple of months ago. That I am almost, and I'm surprised because I'm in a generation where this is very difficult to do. I almost forget that Barack Obama doesn't look like me. I almost forget that. As a matter of fact, unless I'm looking at him, it's very easy to forget he doesn't look like me and I don't look like him. I forget that race thing is what I'm trying to say. And that doesn't make me unique. I think there are a lot of white people who are in my generation, in my age cohort, who experience the same thing. We grew up with racism. We know exactly what it is from a Caucasian point of view. We have somehow acknowledged our own racist attitudes and have made a mighty effort to overcome those attitudes, succeeded maybe to some degree, but certainly not become colorblind. It's impossible. People in my generation, I don't care how we try to do this. We may succeed in the mechanics of it, but our hearts are still stuck back there. You know it as well as I do. Don't write me an email and say, well, I'm not a racist, Mike. Come on. But I think a lot of white people in my age group forget. Or maybe that's the wrong word. Just don't focus on Barack Obama's race. And just realize that of the two candidates, he's the better of the two. And let it go at that. But come election day, when all these white people, older white people, walk into the election booth, just like Brian said, you never know what's going to happen, huh? That old bugaboo may raise his head and say, now come on, you're not going to vote for him.
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people on hold about this particular topic. We're going to take those calls, and then we're going to end the discussion on this. It's driving me slowly insane. This is a kind of, sort of, maybe, possibly connected to what we're talking about, but the report tonight, I saw on one of the corporate newscasts that Barack Obama's plane damn near crashed. When was it? A couple of weeks ago? A few days ago? It was recently. The pilots were talking with ground control that they didn't have, was it pitch? They didn't have nose control of the airplane. And what the public was told after this occurred, of course, the FAA or whoever releases this stuff absolutely, totally, completely lied, said there was no crisis, there was no emergency, whatever. Well, tonight on one of the corporate newscasts, they played the recording from the cockpit and ground control about what was actually going on, and the pilot actually says, we have an emergency. Will you have emergency vehicles on hand when we come down? What had happened was one of the collapsible escape chutes had deployed inside the rear of the plane and was blocking, I guess, some of the equipment back there. It was needed to have pitch control, which is you know, forward to back control. So it was a real crisis situation. It was unbelievably a crisis situation. And we just found out about it tonight. Apparently, I guess it was ABC through some sort of FOIA. They got this recording, the cockpit to tower recording, and there it was. There's the story. Well, I got an email from Dr. Paranoid who says, you know, it's obvious that Brock's airplane should have crashed, and has anyone even mentioned it in the mainstream media? Well, up until tonight, no. Dr. Paranoid goes on. Another thing they still yet have yet to mention is, and I don't know if this is true, but Dr. Paranoid says the plane was a loaner from Hillary Clinton, while Brock's plane was in maintenance. Is that true? I didn't hear that on the news. Dr. Paranoid goes on, I'm telling you people that we have had a coup. It started when they tried to take out Roosevelt and failed. This was partly orchestrated by Granddaddy Bush. They have taken out or smeared every potentially successful progressive candidate since, including Dr. King, the Kennedys, Wellstone. If the corporate media fails to destroy them, they take them out by any means they can. Whoa. Now, who the airplane belonged to, I can't believe, Dr. Paranoid, that's the case. I mean, I don't think these two are in the process of swapping airplanes. They may have swapped a little spit on stage, but they're not swapping airplanes. And it reads good, but I don't think that Hillary Clinton campaign or whatever, the Hillary Clinton camp would give Barack Obama an airplane that they had rigged to crash. I just can't see that. Let's see, they gave him an airplane rigged to crash. What if Hillary Clinton camp didn't know? What if somebody from the corporatist PNAC thug murder Cheney cabal slipped into the hangar before the airplane was taken over by the Obama people and, you know, flipped a spring or jammed a screwdriver and they went, there, boing, there. Then they kill, pardon the expression, two birds with one stone. The Obama crew goes down and Hillary gets the blame. Son of a bitch. You don't think, nah, couldn't be.
You know, you can't forget what happened to Bobby.
You are
Got to count all those delegates because you can't forget
what happened to Bobby. Yeah,
happened to Bobby.
I hear you.
Never know.
Okay, back to your phone calls. Bill is calling from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on the internet. Hey, Bill.
Hey, it's Bill, a rights man in Cleveland, Ohio, home of the stolen 2004 election. Hey, to you, truth seekers. What's happening, Mike and Kathy?
That's a great introduction. Wow.
How are you?
I'm fine.
You know, Mike, what's the definition of insanity?
One definition is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result.
Exactly. So,
you know what another one is?
Give me another one.
Voting Democrat or Republican when you know damn good and well that neither party is going to do anything that they promise, and they're both owned by corporate America. That's another mark of insanity.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point. It's like, we're talking about two sides of the same coin. It's like the good cop and the bad cop.
Right.
The Republicans come out there like George Bush and just bomb everything, and they're the bad cop, and then Barack Obama comes out mid to press and says, my job as a premier executive is going to be to decide where we're going to have the next war.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I tell you, Mike, there were a couple of weeks, a few months ago, that I was worried about you.
You were?
Yeah, I was like actually turning off the show. I was thinking, Mike, you're buying into this.
Buying into what?
This whole, the one and Obama and all this.
Oh, no, I did. Of course I did. Absolutely.
I was like, oh, my God, I got to turn this off. This is like grating on my teeth. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
Sure.
But I've seen it, finally come across. But, this whole Puma thing,
uh-huh.
The People United or whatever they're called, the Pumas.
Uh-huh.
They're all like, yeah, Hillary, go Hillary. It's like, no, you guys still don't get it, We have to do something else, Like I said, it's insanity. We have to do something else.
Yeah.
It's high time that the people that have been fed the corporate party line, and if you read any of, Noam Chomsky, you'll understand that the discussion on the mainstream media is very, very narrow.
Right.
And we need, most people, they don't even know who the hell's running for president, And I was at a reunion last weekend, the class of 68, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
Not my class, I might add. But my friend had invited me, said, don't talk politics. And, people were talking politics, and people were like, wow, now that Hillary's not in, I don't know who to vote for. I'm like, vote green. It's just madness, Michael. Madness.
I hear you, Bill. I honestly, God, I do hear you. And let me just add, the Obama thing, I did. I came on the air and said that, like so many millions of us, I am so desperate for somebody who doesn't look like a cynical, nasty, aging, old white man who's going to get up there like all of these suckers do every single campaign. I'm so sick of it. I am just so sick of it. And hear the same old rhetoric. So Barack Obama, who definitely is not an old, wrinkled, same old white man, he's a lot of things, but not that. So he gets up there, and all of a sudden, wow, hallelujah, it's raining, yes, and my parched soul is being just drenched with all this good rhetoric and this young man standing there, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord have mercy, maybe there's a chance, maybe we can get away, maybe this time, yes, yes, he's not John Kerry, he's not Al Gore, he's not Bill Clinton, he's not McCain, he's not Bush, he's not Romney, he's not all these people. So who is he? He's anybody I want him to be. He's anybody I wanted him to be. And that was cathartic. But, you know, the catharsis was very short-lived. And please, people, stop saying short-lived. Please, I'm begging you. It's short-lived. It means having had a short life. Short-lived. Thank you. You know, that rush that I felt, oh, God, did I just say rush? About Obama was very short-lived. It was very exhilarating. It was wonderful. It made me think, oh. But then, you know, I'm forced to go back and A, take a look at his record, as sparse it is, but B, look at his advisors, and then, holy jumping God, take a look at his positions since he became the presumptive nominee. Wait! Barack, don't do this! But he did. So, you know, here I sit with great big yellow smears all over my face. You know, egg.
You're in heaven, but you're living in here.
So gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. All right, listen, everybody, listen. I'm real okay with this. Switch over to NBC television right now. Michael Phelps is about to take off. I think it's the 200-meter individual medley. So quick. Switch over. You got to watch this. It's okay. It's all right. Got an email here from William who says, holy S, it is true. And what he has for me is from abcnews.com. It was not Obama's regular campaign plane, which is being overhauled. It was a loaner, having previously been used by Senator Hillary Clinton, which is not to say it's her airplane. But, boy, does that give you the goosebumps going up and down your spine, doesn't it? Huh? What do you think? No? Yes? Nah. Couldn't be. No, none of that's real. No. Oh, my God. All right. Where are we? We were talking on the phone. I think we're about to. JT is calling from Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, JT.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
You are a kindred spirit, but I think you're missing the boat on this one.
Oh, yeah? Well, put me on the boat.
Well, Obama's got enough clout within the Democratic campaign to decide who he wants to speak, and it's easy why he wants Hillary to speak and then Bill the next night. He wants to appear magnanimous because Hillary will not be the vice presidential nominee.
Right.
This is a way to let her talk, let her supporters have the day, and then turn around, nominate whoever he wants, and have her supporters march right back in lockstep with him.
But that's assuming that his supporters, or her supporters, apparently are so delicate, so in need of catharsis, that they may not do that.
No, it's a calculated ploy, and he's letting her march down that primrose path and her most vocal supporters so he can appear magnanimous to the ones who still feel wounded. It's almost a no-lose for him. The only thing he can lose is if they actually do a roll call and she somehow gets a second ballot. It's not going to happen.
Well,
I think you missed the boat on this. Obama's run a heck of a campaign. And it's been, every step of the way, it's been pretty well calculated. This is just a calculation to end the controversy once and for all, let him nominate who he wants as VP, and not get any flack from the Hillary supporters for not nominating her.
Well, okay. I hope you're right, JT. I hope that's exactly what happens, because anything other than that is going to be ridiculous. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be great fodder for the Republicans, and it's going to turn off an awful lot of potential Democratic voters. And again, I'm coming at this from a standpoint almost if I don't have a dog in this fight, but you know what I'm saying. Is it over? He won another gold medal for Michael Phelps, and did he set a world record? Probably. Jesus, this guy is just...
he tied Mark Spitz. Did anybody see the... Was it on the Today Show or Good Morning America, what he eats every
12,000 calories.
It was like 3 pounds of pasta a day, a couple different kinds of pancakes. I mean, it just... The list was astonishing.
Yeah, it was a world record. 1:54 and 2,300s. I'll be damned. The 200-meter individual medley... and that was the final. So what does that give him? 6 or 7 gold? I think 6. And maybe 7. I don't know.
How far did you swim today?
A mile.
Did you use your little timer?
I had my little timer on. Yeah.
How quickly are you doing that mile?
49 minutes and I think it was about 34 seconds.
I don't think you get a 12,000-calorie day tomorrow.
No, I don't think so either. Back to your phone calls. Richard is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
Trying to speak very quickly. First of all, to set the context, you and I are probably demographically pretty close, and I have boys in their late 20s and also a 9-and-a-half-year-old daughter who I adore.
Uh-huh.
Pat Schroeder. Who you may remember, who was, I believe, on the House Armed Services Committee, ran for president in 1976, and I was an avid supporter of her. She dropped out quite early.
Uh-huh.
So I have to establish my credentials, you see, as somebody who does not hate women who does not feel that women are not qualified to be president.
Right.
And, of course, if Obama put Barbara Boxer on the ticket, I would be extremely enthused. But I also want to address your disillusionment with Barack. My view is this. You know, I consider myself to be a reformed romantic. And what I mean by that is all of these people are owned. But where you and I may differ is that I think that even among owners, that some are more enlightened than others. And that's why we had FDR, and we could have gone in a very different direction during the 1930s. As far as I'm concerned, the structure is rotten. But to view the ruling class, if you want to use an archaic term, as being unified or unanimous, I think is really a false view. And I think a Warren Buffett, for example, relatively speaking, is more enlightened than Richard Mellenscaife, who the Clintons went to,
mm-hmm.
both Bill and Hillary.
Yeah.
Now, I want to tell you just a quick story.
Sure.
I called Ed Schultz 2 weeks before Hillary's comment about, you know what happened to Bobby Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, people were questioning, why is Hillary staying in the race? And I said to Schultz, who you know was an advocate of Obama, a rabid advocate of Obama, I said, maybe she's staying in the race because she's hoping that something will happen to Obama. And Schultz laughed me off the air. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, she made this comment about Bobby. And she, you know where she made it? At the Pittsburgh Gazette, which
yeah.
was owned by Mellenscaife.
Right, right. Richard, I hate to cut you off, but I have to leave it there. I take your point, and I get what you're saying. Trust me. Trust me, I do. Thanks a lot, Richard. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. A couple of items here. These are not earth-shaking, but the information came out yesterday. Most U.S. corporations and foreign companies doing business in the U.S. pay no federal income tax. That's according to a new report from Congress. This is what pisses me off almost beyond belief. This is what's going to flip me into absolute communism at some point. Well, okay, maybe not that, but certainly absolute socialism. The study by the Government Accountability Office said two-thirds of U.S. corporations paid no federal income taxes between 1998 and 2005. Think about that. Huh? Think about that. These son of a bitches, this is why the country is in bad shape financially. This is why the company, or the country, but why the company has become what it's become. A corporatist state that is run by corporations. Come on. 68% of foreign companies doing business in the U.S. avoided corporate taxes over the same period. So 67% of our own, 68% of foreign companies, all these companies that do business here, give us all the middle finger, and come election time, when you hear this senile bastard John McCain, just like you heard Bush before him, talk about cutting taxes, cutting corporate taxes. What the hell are they talking about? Remember back in the Reagan days, some of you remember this, some of you don't. Got to cut corporate taxes to spur investment. Hello? Corporate taxes were cut, which gave these predatory sons of bitches all kinds of extra cash. And what did they do with it? Went to Mexico? Right. And then where did they go? China? That's two for two. And now where are they going? Anywhere where they can avoid paying their fair share? Bingo! Three for three, you move to the head of the class. Brian Dorgan, who asked for this study with Senator Carl Levin, they're both Democrats, why, of course, said that it's shameful that so many corporations make big profits and pay nothing to support our country. Well, senators, then, goddammit, do something about it. Don't tell me it's shameful. Where have you people been? Where have you had your heads firmly up your rear ends? Do something about it. You have the power. Ow, it's shameful. No, I'll tell you what's shameful, Dorgan. I'll tell you what's shameful, Levin. You two are shameful. You asked for a study? You're not aware that for the past 10 years, American corporations, for the most part, pay nothing and take everything. You don't know that? Then get your asses out of the Senate. Go home. God, this irritates me. An outside tax expert, Chris Edwards of the Libertarian Cato Institute, said increasing numbers of LLCs, limited liability corporations, and so-called S corporations, pay them under individual tax codes. Edwards said, quote, half of all business income in the United States now ends up going through the individual tax code, end quote. Ah, you filthy pigs. More than 38,000 foreign corporations had no tax liability in 2005, and 1.2 million U.S. companies paid no income tax. Combined, the companies had $2.5 trillion in sales. In the meantime, the number of homeowners who are being devoured by the collapsing housing market, the number jumped last month, according to a company that keeps track of this, Realty Track, based in Irvine, California. The housing market, the number of homeowners who are sinking in the housing market jumped last month. It says here as foreclosure filings grew by more than 50% compared with the same month a year ago. Nationwide, more than 272,000 homes received at least one foreclosure-related notice in July, just July, up 55% from the same month last year, and up 8% from June. That means one in every 464 U.S. households received a foreclosure filing last month. The states with the highest foreclosure rates: Nevada, California, Florida, Arizona, Ohio, Georgia, and Michigan. But beyond that, foreclosure filings increased from a year earlier in all but eight states. In 52 states, this is happening. And how many of these corporations that paid no income tax are involved in the scam that was perpetrated against homeowners? How much longer? I'm just curious. I'm not advocating a revolution. I really am not. But how much longer are we as Bush calls us, consumers? How much longer are we consumers going to put up with this? Seriously, how much longer to watch what we are seeing is not the free market at work? Give me a break. You know that. If you don't know that, you're a complete idiot. There is no free market here. There's no invisible hand of the free market, as Adam Smith talked about, governing things like supply and demand, cost, investment, profit. None of that is happening. It is not happening. There is no free enterprise in this country unless you run a little mom-and-pop operation someplace with six employees. And even then, you don't have the invisible hand of the marketplace determining how your business is going to go. We have industries in this country that demand to be made public, not privatized. Health insurance, or the health industry, or health care. I'm as much a victim as anybody else calling it the health industry. What do you mean health industry, Malloy? Healthcare, transportation, energy. Everything's being privatized. Everything. Everything. The military, the prison system. The prison system is damn near privatized, and it's collapsing. There are insane people that are being warehoused in prisons because the mental health industry has collapsed. There is no single-payer health care. What happens to people who can't afford $60,000 a year for mental health treatment? Huh? What happens? Well, they screw up and go to prison? Right. How much more? How much more? I'm just curious. I'm just curious. That's all. I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this world of woe. I would just like to know, Truth Seeker, how much longer are we Americans going to deal with this? How much longer are we going to say, oh, we don't care about single-payer health care. We don't give a damn about that. We're tough. And I'm under 30. I'm not going to get sick. I'm under 40. I'm not going to get sick. I'm under 50. I'm starting to get worried. Well, if I can just hold on for another 16 or 17 years, I can get Medicare. Oh, my kids? Well, I don't know what to do. See? And we allow this to continue. And there is only one power in this country that can change it. There's only one. You think corporate America is going to give up the power? Do you think this filthy government or these two putrid political parties are going to take care of us? There's only one way, and that will be the day that you and I say, enough, goddammit, enough, enough, and mean it. Then it'll change, and not one second sooner.
Though I knew she was sleeping, I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why.
cause I'm the new judge, you turn back the bar.
Out, join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night.
Yeah. 21 past the hour, here's an email from Kathy who writes, Hi Mike, why so much problem with people like the Clintons? They both deserve a lot of admiration for various things. We Democrats sit around and whine about the way the Republicans abuse us, but we abuse ourselves. The Clintons are not demanding. Bill Clinton is a beloved ex-president. Please stop. Kathy. I don't consider Bill Clinton to be a beloved ex-president, but, you know, that's just my opinion, like your opinion is that he is. And as far as the Clintons not being demanding, oh, my goodness. Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate your email. Trish in Reno emailed in... regarding the Russia-Georgia ongoing situation. And by the way, the goal now is to, for the Russians, is to get Saakashvili in front of a war crimes tribunal. That's what they're aiming for. Trish writes, what can I say that isn't trite by now? Bush fulminating against Russia for the very crimes he's committed in Iraq and Afghanistan. And yet there is some slobbering dumbass out there buying this crap. How strong and magnificent is our president upholding our uniquely American values? Would be the thought, if they could express any thought. Mike, I am dizzy over the enormity of the hypocrisy. Make me feel better. Do a blistering rant. At least we, huddling in the bunkers, watching the show over which we are helpless, can comfort one another. Keep ranting till the lights go out, Trish and Reno. Yeah, well, I've you know... I hear you. And I may have read this the other night, but if I did, it needs to be repeated. This is from Neil in Venice, California. Mike, on the New York Times site, this comment was posted in response to an article by Andrew Kramer and Ellen Berry titled On Slog to Safety, Seething at the West. This was a response. An American man living in South Ossetia says U.S. and Georgian leaders are responsible for the violence that has killed 2,000 people in the region. Joe Mestis, who witnessed days of shelling, told Russian television that Washington will have to answer for the violence. He said, quote, I thought that since U.S. is supporting Georgia, there would be some control over the situation in South Ossetia and that there would be a peaceful solution to the conflict. But what is happening there now is not just war, but war crimes. George Bush and Mikhail Saakashvili should answer to the crimes that are being committed. The killing of innocent people, running over by tanks of children and women, throwing grenades into cellars where people are hiding. End quote. He added, quote, the war is when military fight against military, but the Georgian army is killing innocent civilians. This is genocide. And the Bush and company filthy hands are all over this, Neil adds. Damn them, Mike. Damn them. Yeah, I think I did read this the other night, but it bears repeating. It's a horrifying situation, just horrifying. And the Russians are determined to where is it? I've got it here someplace. Oh, and the Pakistanis want to impeach Musharraf. Oh my God. Oh, damn. I don't have it right here in front of me. I wish I did, but I don't seem to have it in front of me. But the goal of what Medvedev is saying, who is just the Putin's mouthpiece, is that they want to get Saakashvili and get him before a war crimes tribunal and put him on trial for crimes against humanity. And they just might succeed. In the meantime, the power in Pakistan is demanding an impeachment process to begin against Musharraf to remove him from office. And here in this country, we have this drunken dumbass wandering around in Beijing, grabbing volleyball playing women on the ass, falling down through the bleachers, making the dumb. Have you seen some of these pictures? Making these faces into the crowd? Have you seen these pictures? Bush, the president of the United States, making faces like a four-year-old, holding the American flag the wrong way. People around him looking at him like, who in the name of God is this freak?
Well, in his defense, people look at him like that all the time.
Yeah, but he's in China. He's on a world stage. I mean, as long as the little bastard stays home and does his damage from here, the rest of the world has learned that there's no reason to pay any attention to him one way or the other. Cheney is going to order him to do whatever Cheney orders him to do, and Bush is going to do it. But when he's out of his crawl space, when they let him go to the Middle East or to Europe or to China to watch the Olympic Games, and he sits there with his face screwed up, like, I mean, he puts expressions on his face like my four-year-old. And looks into the camera like, hey, look at me. Yeah, I'm all drunk and coked up, but, you know, look at me. I can do war. I'm a war president.
I'm a monkey. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Grab the charge or get your money's worth. With this show.
I was interested to see that Virgin Atlantic flew a 747 from London's Heathrow Airport to Amsterdam, fueled partly by coconuts.
I'll bet that just intrigued the hell out of you, didn't it, Monkey Boy? Huh? Fueled partly by coconuts. Well, not really, but that's all right. It's okay. Back to your phone calls. Marge is calling from Indiana, and by the way, we have some open lines now, so jump in here. Hey, Marge.
Good evening, Michael. What was he saying about coconuts?
Bush said that this is a few months back, he heard that Virgin Atlantic Airlines had flown from, I think, someplace in Spain to someplace in not Spain, and what they used for fuel was coconuts. But it wasn't really coconuts. I would imagine it was probably refined coconut oil. But
how can somebody walk around like being so damn stupid? Oh, God.
Well, he has a lot of Secret Service protection around him.
Yeah.
So that, you know.
Listen, Toodles, before I forget, can I make one little inquiry about your phone?
Sure.
When you come around to say goodnight, would you say goodnight before you push the button? If you do it simultaneously, I don't know what the hell happened.
Oh, I go away.
Yeah, but I don't know what you said when you went away. Your last comment sort of goes into cyberspace.
Oh, that's right, because you have to listen via the telephone.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you, Marge.
I would appreciate that.
But there's no way I can truly control that, because we're on about a 12-second delay.
Well, talk before you push.
I've been told that before. But anyway, now, why did you call?
Well, there was, you know, it has nothing to do with Hillary, but yeah. Something was said on my local television last week that if I had gotten through that night, I would have turned your place into a parking lot.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Oh, it wasn't some damn survey. It was something to do with a medical whatever, and I don't know, maybe the plastic surgeons are pushing their wares. But they made the recommendation, got that recommendation, that women of a certain age should consider having plastic surgery so they maintain their youthful appearance before they go look for a job. And, oh, Jesus. you know, I was so damn mad.
No, wait, no, wait. Go get plastic surgery before you go look for a job?
Yeah. You got to look.
And where, pray tell, were these thousands of dollars supposed to come from?
Well, from your grand and glorious medical coverage, of course.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
Jesus. You know, I heard that, and I sat there, and I fumed, and I cussed, and I thought, what the hell? So I did a little bit of research, and I'm looking for the Equal Rights Amendment. Uh-huh. I don't think it's totally dead. It may be on life support, but it's not dead, I don't think. And since Jesse Helms is dead and Phyllis Schlafly is getting older, maybe we'll have a shot at it. I think we need about 8 more states.
Well, it would have to be reintroduced because I think there's only 7 years allowed, and I think it was...
That's where I'm at now. I'm checking to find out.
Yeah.
From what I understand, it's been reintroduced every year after the last vote, but... There hasn't been a lot of active
interest.
Support, inquiry, whatever,
yeah.
And I'm asking.
Well, that's interesting. Again, if you find out that it's still alive because somebody keeps reintroducing the amendment into the House or the Senate, I haven't heard anything about this whatsoever. I guess it would be introduced in the Senate. I haven't heard anything about this whatsoever.
But if I get one old fart that pats me on the head and says, there, there, little lady, I'll lean on my cane and kick him in his macadamias. Do you get the impression I'm ticked off?
A little bit. His macadamias. Yeah, well, a little bit. I think. But on the other hand, I understand why he would be pissed off. This is a society that looks upon gray hairs and wrinkles as some kind of a disease or a condition that needs to be corrected rather than medals of honor.
Well, I mean, gee whiz. Oh, and you're talking about the election.
Yeah.
Did you know that the Diebold company is now known as the Premier Election Solutions, run by one, David Byrd? You know, and wasn't it Chuck Hagel that was in charge of that, now retired?
No, he was with, I think he was with a similar company, ESS, another private.
It wasn't Diebold.
No, well, he was never, Hagel was never involved with Diebold. It might have been ESS, ISS, ASS.
Yeah, I know I've heard the name, but I can't recall it either.
Right.
But, you know.
But he was with another one of those proprietary election machine makers where... nobody could see the code because it was proprietary information. Nobody mm-hmm. knew how easily it could be hacked. Nobody mm-hmm. knew if programs could be inserted that took every fifth vote for the Democrats and shifted it to Republicans. We still have touchscreen voting here in Georgia, which is another reason I am always reluctant now to go vote in Georgia because I have no idea how it's being processed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, you touch the screen and you don't know where it goes from then.
Right.
But anyway, by the way, I got a new boyfriend.
You have a new boyfriend?
Yeah, you're going to go meet him, I think, in Seattle this weekend.
Yeah?
The only trouble is I only get him on instant replay, so, you know, I can't call him up and raise hell with him like I do with you.
Who is that?
Tom Hartman.
Oh, he's your boyfriend?
Well, I like to listen to him.
Is there any reason here for me to feel like a spurned ex-boyfriend?
No, I can still call you and raise hell.
Ah, I see. All right. So you want me to tell Hartman that you consider him to be your boyfriend?
Yeah. One of the things he mentioned was talking about people that were going to not only be in Seattle, but some of the people that were going to cover their conventions.
Yeah.
And one of the names that came up was a Chris Malloy. Is that anybody you might know?
Chris Malloy? I have a son named Chris Malloy.
That's what I thought. Is he following your footsteps?
But he's in school.
Oh.
Yeah, he's at university.
I heard that name. I said, son of a gun.
I don't think, unless he's got some kind of a career going I know nothing about. All right, Marge, now here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, first I'll say, all right, Marge, I'll talk to you later. Now, 10.
Have a good trip.
5, 4, 3.
Happy landing.
2, 1. All right, Marge, thanks for checking in. Mark is calling from Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. Listen, I was telling the guy that my experience with getting calls from like Nielsen ratings or
right.
anything where they do surveys or take polls, I guess it's similar to taking polls,
mm-hmm.
Is that they'll keep calling that number once they know they've gotten a response. They'll continue it to
improve. Oh, yeah, yeah.
As
yeah,
repeat, like
yeah,
a repeat
calls, right, exactly.
And that's why a lot of people don't get you don't get an opinion from new people, or they don't get an opinion from new people. And this is why a lot of people wonder, well, where are they getting these answers from? You know, these people are still stuck in the same mode and believe the same thing. And they're going to keep on calling those people.
That's right. That's one of the reasons I don't buy some of that stuff that Billy Mays sells on television, like, you know, this super putty and all this kind of stuff, because I know, and I love Billy Mays, man. You know, he's always selling the Oxy Clean or Oxy this or Oxy whatever, and, mm-hmm. and he always sells that stuff, those little hooks you put in the wall, and it'll support an elephant. And,
right.
and all this stuff, and there's so many things that Billy Mays sells, and you know, sometimes during the day when I'm watching the History Channel or whatever, and I see Billy Mays come out there, and I'm thinking to myself, damn, I want to order that. But I know that if I do, because I used to be in the telemarketing business, I have opened myself up to an unending flood of such a degree that would make Noah look like somebody went for a boat ride down at the local park. It just won't stop. So what you're
right.
saying is essentially the same thing. They once they
right.
get you, they got you.
They got you.
I hear you. I hear
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the only poll, I know politicians say this, and I hate to use these kinds of cliches, but the only poll that really counts is on election day.
There you go.
Right?
100%.
I hear you, man. Thanks, Mark.
All right.
All right.
You're welcome.
Take care. Take care. Pam is calling from Seattle, listening on KPTK or KTPK, or listening on the Seattle station. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Pam.
I have never called a radio show before, so.
You haven't?
No.
You know it's going to happen when this call is over.
What? You're going to count down to 12?
No, huge snakes will come crawling out of your phone.
Oh, cool. All right. I'm so excited that you're coming to Seattle again. I actually met you at the Asteroid Cafe last year in July.
At the oh with
you and your friend Dr. Roger Libby.
Oh yeah, I'll be damned.
And it was really fun. But,
Have you been seeing him for therapy?
No, I probably should, but I'm unemployed and I can't afford therapy.
Well, he might cut you a deal. So, are you coming to the Saturday night event?
Yeah, I am Saturday evening because I won tickets.
You won tickets.
Yeah, I won tickets. I just emailed you a little email and said that I couldn't get tickets because I lost my job recently,
right.
and so I can't spend money on tickets. And then they had a drawing in my neighborhood at one of the businesses that is a sponsor of the event.
And you won.
And I went and I won.
Well, that is great. I hope during the break you'll come up and say hi. Pam, I have to leave it there.
So.
All right, take care.
Okay.
We'll see you at the gig Saturday. We are looking forward to that.
Yeah,
stay with us.
Welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your skies.
I was born like this, I had no choice. I was born with the gift of a golden voice, and 27 angels from the great beyond. They tied me to this table right here in the Tower of Song. So you can stick your little pins in that voodoo doll. I'm very sorry, baby, doesn't look like me at all. I'm standing by the window, where the light is strong.
Oh, we have to have a Leonard Cohen night. I swear to God we do. Thanks to our technical staff, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, the creative staff, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Sharon Gordy, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. And to the Nova M founding members, what are we up to, about 6,000 or 7,000 now? I never get any emails on this anymore, and I'm curious. You can now watch this little weekly, it usually runs 2, 3, 4 minutes, weekly video of your humble and obedient servant. If you log on to NovaMradio.com, go to the members section, click on the videos, and we have been putting up every week. It's supposed to be Mike Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag, and that's what it's been up to this point. We were a little bit nervous today because we were ready to tape it. Oh, isn't that cute? Isn't he so cute when he says tape things? We were ready to digitally record it, and we only had I think there was one brief hate mail. And then further proof probably that there really is a God. You know, we got a couple of them just bing, bing, that came in right away. So they're all there.
How very McCain of you.
McCain?
Taping.
Oh, taping. Yeah. I just can't get away from it, taping. No, let's go tape this. Anyway, if you're a founding member, go to it and give me some feedback because, I don't know, if it's not that big of a deal, why use the bandwidth, right? See, I know how to say words like bandwidth. How about that? Did I do good?
That's good.
I said bandwidth. So anyway, go to NovaMradio.com, go to the member section and, find the videos and there it is. Couple of emails here. Bob in Madison, listening on the mic. He writes, Mike, I think you have it wrong about Hillary. If the Democratic National Committee thought Hillary was going to pull something like what has been discussed, they would not give her the opportunity to do so. What I think is going on is that they desperately need her to pull in women voters because the candidate, Obama, has done nothing substantive to bring women into the fold and express even a perception of understanding the issues faced by women in today's society. What? You're probably right, Bob. He hasn't addressed so-called women's issues, but what would those issues be? I can't think of any issue that is strictly a woman's issue, except the obvious one, a woman's right to privacy, where it concerns whether or not she chooses to have an abortion. But what issue is a strictly a woman's issue? Wages? No. Health care? No. Environmental degradation? No. Real security? No. Reducing the national debt? No. I'm sorry, Bob, but I don't see women's issues. I see issues that all of us should be dealing with. But Bob goes on, the same is true for economically strapped folks. Obama has done nothing substantive to show he even conceives of those issues and cares about them. Well, again, I disagree. He does have a conception of those issues. I don't think that his solutions are the solutions that we need at this particular time. Predatory corporatism, capitalism, and small F fascism are eating the core out of this country. It has to be stopped. It has to be stopped. And I think Obama probably understands that. I would tend to agree with you on that particular one, though, that he has he hasn't shown anything substantive that he cares about the issues. I think he conceives of them. Bob goes on. The poll numbers show this. People have started to get a whiff of something beyond the Kool-Aid, and it stinks. I think the whole point is to shore up a falling candidacy that is just more of the lack of true leadership that has us grasping for straws. Or the will of the wisp, Bob. It is difficult for me to argue with people who point out that Barack Obama's suit of armor is really nothing more than tissue paper, even though I was more than willing to see it as a suit of armor. But on the other hand, I don't think Barack Obama is a stupid man. I think he is possibly one of the smartest politicians available to the American public on any level right now. I mean that. But Barack Obama has the terrible reality that he is a product of this country, this society, this economic system, this political system. And as such, I think Barack Obama understands that he dare not propose radical solutions when it's obvious that they're so desperately needed. So for the people who are going to vote for Barack Obama for president, let's hope that he is a stealth candidate, that somewhere underneath all the flowing rhetoric, there is a person who understands that radical action is absolutely required. I'll see you Monday, all right? Unless you're in Seattle, in which case I'll see you Saturday night. Take care. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Malloy. Keep it lit. This is Nova M Radio.